Good Thursday morning to you. You are listening to the Gospel Radio Network, and this is Mornings for the Master. My name is Chris McElyea, your host this Thursday morning. I'm glad that you've joined me, and I hope that you will stay tuned for the next hour as we look at events around the Brotherhood that are going on, and also spend time in God's Word this morning in our ongoing study of the New Testament. And this morning, our chapter will be in the book of Luke this morning as we continue through the New Testament in a year. But before we do that, we want to begin by mentioning the things that are on our bulletin board this morning and also remind you that if you have an event that is coming up in your area and you would like us to help you get the word out about that, we encourage you to shoot us a message at mornings@tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get that on the air for you. Now, this morning, we want to begin by mentioning a gospel meeting that is coming up in New Boston, Texas. The topic is going to be the Kingdom of God, and the speaker for this series of gospel meetings is going to be Brother Cody Westbrook. The dates for this series of meetings is March 20th through the 23rd. God's kingdom is a topic of concern among many today. What does the Bible teach about the kingdom of God? What prophecies are written of this kingdom? Who rules over this kingdom? What kind of citizens does it have? How can we be a part of it? What will happen to this kingdom in the future? Great searching questions. Come and hear spiritual biblical lessons designed to inform you regarding these and many more questions. This will begin on Sunday morning, March the 20th at 9:30 a.m. with the topic of prophecy of the kingdom. In the worship hour at 10:25, the King of the Kingdom. This will be followed by a congregational potluck lunch to which you are invited. And then Sunday evening at 6 p.m., Brother Cody will be discussing the citizens of the kingdom. The gospel meeting will continue Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Monday's topic, How to Enter the Kingdom. And on Tuesday, How to Stay in the Kingdom, and concluding Wednesday with the future of the kingdom. The New Boston Church of Christ is located at 610 North McCoy Boulevard in New Boston, Texas. You can reach them by phone at 903-628-2891 or visit the website at newbostoncoc.com. org. Make plans to attend the gospel meeting in New Boston, Texas, March 20th to March 23rd. Coming up March 27th through March the 31st will be the annual lectureship of the Memphis School of Preaching. This year they are celebrating 50 years of training and preparing to teach the gospel. This is going to be a great event. The general theme is going to be preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. This will be at the Memphis School of Preaching, Forest Hill, Irene Road in Memphis, Tennessee. You can reach them by phone at 901-751-2242. That's 901-751-2242, or visit the website at www.msop.org. Each week, I've been highlighting some of the lessons of various days of the lectureship, and today, let's notice some of the lessons that are going to be on Wednesday, just to whet your appetite. This is just Wednesday, March the 30th. In the chapel class, continue in them. At 9 o'clock, they cease not to preach. Danny Petrillo. There'll be a class in room 405 at 9 o'clock. A preacher and a counselor, Mark Mosier. In room 201 in the school building, preaching good news, Isaiah 61:11 with Wayne Cox. In the church building upstairs, any restrictions while dating. This is a youth class. The speaker will be Chris Perry. There will be a ladies class, The Word on Worship with Jenny Knox. At 11 a.m., classes include We Need Preachers Like Paul, Brother Rick Brumbeck. What is a Sermon, Brother Mike McDaniel. We Should Preach Boldly, Gregory Lewis. We Should Preach Accurately, Brother Keith Dixon. Lunch will be at 11:30, and then the lectureship will resume at 1:30. Cameron Freeman will be speaking on America Needs the Church of Christ. There'll be a ladies' class, The Word on Morals. At 2:30, Are We Preaching Calvinism? Bob Knox. The Blessings of a Local Preacher, Nathan Liddell. What Kind of Spouse Should I Seek? A youth class with Chris Perry. At 3:30, If We Fail to Teach Like Jesus, the Master Teacher, with Jason Rollo. And Preaching Against Hypocrisy, Brother Joey Davis. That evening, there will be a congregational singing at 6:30. And then at 7 p.m., Brother John DeBerry will speak on If I Preach Not the Gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. That's just one day. This will be running all the way through Thursday, March 27th through the 31st. The annual lectureship of the Memphis School of Preaching, celebrating 50 years. April 2nd, there's going to be a Ladies' Day at the Colleyville Church of Christ in Colleyville, Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The topic is Recipe for Peace, the Book of Philippians, speaker Evelyn Bonner. There's going to be teenage girls' classes also with Callie Puckett as the speaker. For more information, call 817-281-1681. That's 817-281-1681. Ladies, you are also encouraged to mark your calendar for March the 19th. That's going to be a Ladies' Day at the Angelina Church of Christ in Lufkin, Texas. You're asked to RSVP as soon as possible. The actual date has passed, but I'm sure they would still love to have you if you'll call and let them know. And the theme is Stir Up One Another for Love and Good Works. April 30th through May the 5th is going to be the dates for this year's Focal Point Seminar. And this is going to include classes for elders, preachers, youth workers, ladies, you name it, there's a class for you. This is going to be at the University Congregation in San Marcos, Texas. The number to call them is 512-353-2487. That's 512-353-2487. You can also visit the website. You're encouraged to do that. You can register there, and there's a lot of information pertaining to the Focal Point Seminar, and that is at univcofc.com, univcofc.com. There's going to be a gospel meeting coming up in the southeast Oklahoma area. That's going to be April the 3rd through the 8th at the Westside Congregation in Idabel, Oklahoma. The speaker will be Richard Rutledge of the Gospel Radio Network. That is going to run Sunday through Friday. And the topic is going to be very timely from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 20 through 32. Also coming up April 3rd through the 6th will be a gospel meeting in Edgewood, Texas. The speaker there will be Brother Ryan Smithy, also of the Gospel Radio Network. The theme will be Restoration, Building Up the Local Church. And so if you're in the Edgewood, Texas area, make plans to attend that. Brother Smithy will do a great job on the topic of restoration and building up the local church. Young people, make plans. April the 9th, an area-wide youth devotional will be held at the Carriage Oaks Church of Christ in Bossier City, Louisiana. Carriage Oaks Congregation is located at 5661 Shed Road in Bossier City. For more information, you can call 318-741-3016. That is 318-741-3016. Be making plans to be in Lovelady, Texas, April 22nd through the 24th. That is going to be the dates for the annual Lovelady Lectures. And this year's theme, again, will be Lessons in Lyrics. This is an outstanding event. I've been to it several times, and you will be glad you went. That's the annual Lovelady Lectures in Lovelady, Texas. Also, there's a special event coming up March the 25th through the 27th in Fruitvale, Texas, as the Fruitvale congregation is going to host a marriage seminar, God's Blueprint for Marriage. This is going to be directed by Brother Ken Hope of Garland, Texas. For more information, you can contact Brother Carl McCann at 503-896-1647. That is 503-896-1647. That's all that we have on our bulletin board this morning. I hope that you'll be able to avail yourself to attend some of these events. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be continuing our study. This morning we will be looking at the 10th chapter of the book of Luke as we continue study of the New Testament on a daily basis, so that at the end of the year we will have been able to all read and study the New Testament together. So Luke chapter 10 will be our topic when we return here in just a few moments. Welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. And as we said this morning, we are looking at the 10th chapter of Luke. And this chapter is another action-packed chapter, and it begins with the sending out of the 70 as Jesus sends these 70 out. And we'll begin in verse 1, and it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" The 70 that are sent out here are those who had responded to Jesus' call for total commitment. These 70 were going to be Jesus' witnesses and laborers in the harvesting of souls, for they were now fishers of men. They were to be lambs among wolves. In verse 3, Jesus said, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." Sending them out with very little provision was going to require them to walk on faith, not to put their faith or confidence in their possessions, but they would have to walk in faith. Jesus told them in verse 4 to carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. Notice that Jesus told them that they were to greet no one along the road. For indeed, the mission they were on was one of urgency. There would not be time to waste by visiting needless with those that they encountered along the way. The message that they were carrying was a simple message of peace. Notice verse 5. "But whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you." This message that they were delivering was a message of peace, and it was for all. Recall the words of James in chapter 2 and verse 1. "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." The 70 were going to have to walk in faith. They would have to have faith that God would provide their daily necessities as they moved about with the good news that they delivered. In verse 9, Jesus said, "And heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you." They were going to be given, as they journeyed, miraculous power by the Holy Spirit. they were instructed to heal the sick and to preach that the kingdom of God was at hand. These healings that they would be able to perform with the power of the Holy Spirit would be confirmation of their message that it was of God and that they were messengers of God. And that message they were preaching was that the kingdom of God was at hand. It was near. It was close. It was going to come in the lifetime of many of these. The 70 were dealing with eternal and serious matters. In verse 12, Jesus said, "But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The Lord Jesus had done great and mighty works. And to reject these who came in his name would be the same as rejecting Jesus. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now, these verses that follow give us the reason why that the 70 returned to Jesus at the conclusion of this first evangelistic effort, full of joy and rejoicing. Notice verse 17. "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Jesus needed them to understand that their rejoicing would not be over the success or the miraculous power given to them, but of the fact that they were citizens of heaven. Jesus rejoices in this to the Father. Verse 21, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Jesus rejoiced also to his disciples. Notice in verse 23, "Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, 'Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. And so in the sending out of the 70, it shows us great need for seriousness concerning our calling in the kingdom. Like the 70, we are witnesses of the kingdom and laborers in the harvest. What a blessing it is that God has revealed himself to us through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Next, our chapter will move into the consideration of the Good Samaritan, one of the great parables. And we're going to consider that in just a few moments when we return here on Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Oh,
In verse 25, as we welcome you back this morning, we're going to pick up with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan is often referred to as the service parable. In this parable, we can find real-life application of godliness. The lawyer tests Jesus with a question that leads to this parable. The question was a great question, but unfortunately, it was asked with less than honorable intentions. Let's pick up in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came from where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So now as we consider this parable, in verse 25, we saw a lawyer come up to Jesus and ask him the steps to eternal life. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This was one of just a number of instances where Jesus would be tempted by men. But the temptations of Jesus should give us comfort that we, through him, can also overcome. The Hebrew writer in chapter 4 and verse 15 said, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was on all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." We note from verse 25 here that eternal life is inherited, and one must do something to receive the inheritance. In the 26th verse there, Jesus directed him to the law. "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" We can see that eternal life is connected to what is written. We will have to comply with what is written to receive our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance. In the 27th verse, the lawyer summed up the law very, very ably. Duty to God and duty to man. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Yes, this would be the carrying out fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 points out our duty to God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 points out our duty to our fellow man. You shall not take any vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. In the 28th verse, Jesus commands the law to the man. It is directly related to eternal life. Jesus said, "Do this, and you will live." Indeed, a man must do right by God and his fellow man if he hopes to see heaven. We must understand that it is one thing to know the Scripture, and it is an entirely different thing to live the Scripture. This man, according to verse 29, had not developed a love for his neighbor on a scriptural level. And so now the lawyer begins to pretend ignorance, and he hypocritically tries to justify his failure to love his neighbor. Notice the question, who is my neighbor? But really, how different is this man from so many of us? And as a result of his substandard attitude, Jesus now uses the parabolic teaching of the Good Samaritan to teach us a lesson. Now we need to first note here that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was about 18 miles in length. And one particular section of that road was known as the Bloody Way. This was because so much blood was shed in that area by robbers. And in verse 30, we see that a man is attacked by thieves. They stripped him, they beat him, and they left him for dead. Now, though the scripture does not specifically say to us, it is in all likelihood that this man was a Jew. Verses 31 and 32 here point out that it was those with religious vows of service that saw the man, a priest and a Levite. They both saw the condition of this man, and they both turned aside to avoid rendering aid unto him. Now, the one man was a Levite. Recall that the tribe of Levi was very special in that all the priests came from this tribe. Among the Jews, they were looked upon and considered as being more religious than others. Perhaps what many would call an early version of clergy. However, all Levites were not priests. Let us look back to Leviticus, the 21st chapter, beginning in verse 17 here concerning the priest. Speak to Aaron, saying, "No man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach, a man blind or lame, who has a marred face, or any limb too long, a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man who has a defect in his eye, or eczema or scab, or is a eunuch. No man of the descendants of Aaron, the priest who has a defect, shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. Indeed, they were supposed to be the best of the best. The priest and the Levite probably had numerous excuses as to their actions. Perhaps he was fearful that those who mugged the man in the ditch might still be close by. Perhaps he was in a hurry. Maybe he was just too good for this one he presumed to be a sinner in the ditch. Whatever the case was, he obviously was not much of a priest, and the Levite was certainly nothing special either. The lowly Samaritan was about to come along and would definitely have excuses to avoid the Jew in the ditch, since he would have been despised by the Jew. But he did not use excuses. The priest and the Levites were the ones who were supposed to be better at religion, but it had not had a whole lot of effect on them, as we can see. It seems that they left their religion at the synagogue. Have you left your religion at the building? Are you guilty of this? Verse 33, we remember that the Samaritans had virtually no dealings with Jews, and the man in the ditch was likely a Jew. The Samaritans, in fact, were hated by the Jews because they were of mixed race. In John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask of a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" But the Samaritan man here saw the man and had compassion toward him and rendered aid unto him. When we consider the fact that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan, this makes the compassion shown by the Samaritan even more surprising and amazing. The man in need of help was receiving help from the one he would least expect to offer to him help. In verse 34, we see that the Samaritan took him to an inn and cared for him there. In fact, this Samaritan was willing not only to give his time for the man, but also his material goods to help this man recover. The Samaritan was like the State Farm commercial. Like a good neighbor, he was there. The Samaritan was the real neighbor to the Jew. Remember the words of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17? "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" And look at the amazing actions in verse 35. "By leaving 2 denarii, this Samaritan was leaving the approximate value of 2 days' wages." How many men today would do that for a total stranger? In fact, a total stranger that would not consider him much higher in standing than the family dog. And in fact, on top of that, as he takes his leave from the inn, he gives the money to the innkeeper and gives him the promise that he will pay more if it is needed when he returns. From verse 36, we see that since the lawyer supposedly did not know who his neighbor was to start with, Jesus now asks him, which of these men was the man's neighbor? The lawyer would rightfully answer, the one who showed mercy. Since the answer was quite clear to anyone who would have been listening. And Jesus gives the instruction in verse 37 to go and do likewise. The question was, would the lawyer now put into practice the things that Jesus had taught? Would he now do the right thing and do it with the right heart? You see, my friend, a neighbor can be one who is near to us, or just a fellow man, or any member of the human family. And so, we might consider the choice here of, you know, there's three rules that one may choose to live by. You might choose to live by the thieves' rule. That is, what's yours is mine if I can take it. The priest and the Levite's rule is, what's mine is mine and I intend to keep it. Or hopefully we'll live by the Samaritan's rule. What's mine is yours if you need it. Our neighbor becomes anyone with which we can help. The last segment of our chapter this morning deals with the two sisters, Mary and Martha. Let's pick up now in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Our Lord Jesus had three very close friends there in the village of Bethany, and he apparently stayed a number of times in the home of these siblings, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, when he was in the region of Judea. Mary and Martha were both disciples, and they loved Jesus greatly. But we'll notice that their reaction to this visit by Jesus was very different from each other. Notice that Martha is frustrated by her sister leaving the kitchen. Notice her statement, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. The time had arrived for Mary and Martha to feast spiritually, and Martha was distracted by her serving, which in and of itself was a good work, but there was something greater at hand here. God has not blessed us with our families, our friends, our jobs, our abilities, and other blessings to be used as an excuse to abandon a close walk with Him. We can do nothing without Jesus. Let me repeat that. God has not blessed us with our families, our friends, our jobs, our abilities, and our other blessings to be used as an excuse to abandon a close walk with him. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We need to avoid the excessive worry and fretting here that we see in Martha. It was time for Martha to quit worrying and allow her faith to grow. Mary had seen the importance of listening and hearing Jesus over the preparation of a meal. This meal that Martha was worrying about would satisfy them for a short time, a few hours. The spiritual meal that Jesus was giving them was one that would last for eternity. Martha had found herself too busy to commune with the Lord. It is so easy for us in this hustle and bustle world today to allow ourselves to become so busy with our jobs, our careers, so busy with our children's activities, so busy with our recreation, that we find ourselves too busy to spend time with the Lord, to pray, and to study. If you find yourself in this position, it is time for you to get down on your knees and to repent and make your time for the Lord a priority number one in your life. We cannot allow our spiritual walk to be nothing more than going to church and then finding ourselves consumed with all of the rest of our time with the cares of the world. We must avail ourselves and our time to the Lord. The late Brother Johnny Ramsey once noted that he did not believe that any man had ever availed himself to a tenth of what God wanted to bless him with. God wants our time. He wants our devotion. He has paid the price, and we are to give that to him, and the blessings will flow. A great lesson for us in the lives of Mary and Martha to help us understand that we must have a balance between our physical and our spiritual lives, and we must not neglect or starve ourselves spiritually, as so many are doing today, and as we can see the cost of doing that. Our time is about up today. I hope that you will tune in again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master. Tomorrow will be Luke chapter 11 with your hosts Chris Groda and J.J. Hendricks. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and will be posted to the archives in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Networks in a day or so. Again, stay tuned for all of the programming through the day. And if the Lord wills, I will see you again next Thursday at this same time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, for another edition of Mornings for the Master. So until then, this is Chris McAleay saying so long and have a great day.